Sister Becky read this from a pastor in Knoxville, said this today, and you know him, so some of you know him, so I won't mention his name, but he said, I thought I was really preaching good today. He said, people started jumping up and clapping and shouting. He said, then I realized they fired Vince Dooley as coach. So he said, I hate cell phones in church. He was teasing. I remember an elder preacher told me one time, he said, and you had to know him, he was big like me, big and tall, and I'm big around, but he's a lot bigger around than I was, and he was an elderly preacher, and he said one night he was having revivals at his church, and he said, I got up, the bathroom was in the back, he said, I got up to go to the bathroom, he said, the whole church fired me. He thought I was doing a Jellico walk. He said, I just went in the bathroom. I don't know what happened out there. He said, but sometimes we just need to lighten up a little bit. God's going to do something special for us tonight. I know what God's got. Let me make my announcement, get them out of the way. Don't forget, there'll be no church this coming Thursday. This will be a day for you to overeat, fellowship, and just have a good time. And when it comes church time, you'll probably be sleepy. They say turkey puts you to sleep, and so just take you a nap and enjoy your fellowship. We'll be back at it the following week, and so don't forget that. Don't forget December the 8th. Keep that in mind. If you
amen,
they worked here the other day, and they've done a wonderful job, and they've got things started, and we've got room for much more now, and they begin to organize it, so bring your stuff in. If you need us to haul it, just call us, and we'll see that we can get somebody come by and pick it up and bring it out to the house of the Lord. I said this morning, this is just not for our church. If we're going to try to have live singing, and who knows, somebody might want to preach or anything, but if you know a small, another church that's wanting to do something this Christmas, and maybe they're like us, not able to do a whole lot, if you put two or three together, a lot can be done. And so we welcome them to come and take part. And I said this morning, and y'all know my heart, I'd love to fill this church up, but this yard sale, this giveaway is not to build our church up, it's to be a blessing to the community. And that's what we want to be. So be praying much about that, and invite people to come out and sing and just have a good time in that. Seemed like I had another announcement. Don't remember it right off. If it comes to me, I'll tell you. I'm the world's worst. When I do write them down, I leave them back here on the desk. So I've got a desk full of announcements back here in one of my drawers I just forget to do. But I'm glad that, there we go. The First Baptist Church is going to be giving away food. They want us to announce it December the 1st, between 10 and 2, and they want people to bring it. So if you tell somebody, tell them to bring their own boxes or their own bags that they can pick the food up. God is good, isn't he? Yeah. I tell you, I just feel his presence. I felt such the presence of the Lord today. It's been a wonderful day in the Lord. I feel his presence in this building this evening. God's about to do something so special, and I know that we're in a special time. If you're able, would you just stand with us before we change the service? And give me just one more song there, singers, if you got one. Or you want me to request one?
Have a request.
No, but I can. Oh, yes.
I like to tell you what Jesus means to me.
Oh yeah, listen to this.
I find myself searching for words to say just what I mean. We can't God describe how good God's been to me. He's my rock, my in my King. He's my shelter in the time of trouble, and I look to Jesus for everything. He'll be your mother, father, and friend.
Just one more toot on it. Is that a word? Give me another key. Listen to that. Oh, yeah. That just mellows out the soul. Give the Lord a good clap of praise. Praise the Lord. I tell you, God is good. We've been torn between two messages, and we just preach them both, I guess. We'll just preach what God wants us. Maybe a little bit of both. I don't know. The message that I'm leaning towards this evening, about 2 weeks ago, one of them nights when sleep had escaped me, and I began to pray to the Lord and talk to God, and he gave me this message, and not often does he give me one just instantly. Usually it takes prayer and seeking and studying, but God gave me this message I hear something behind me. But anyways, the Lord gave me this message that one night, and I want to share it with you. To get your mind on the seriousness of the word tonight, I just want to show you how that we need God to move, and that I believe it's in our hands. You remember about 2.5-3 years ago when I preached on witchcraft and satanic worship? Do you remember I told you how that it's taken over the youth of America? Do you know that there's a website? I don't know where it is, but when I was studying this, I read about it. And in this website, they get young people that get on this website, and they sign an agreement that they deny Jesus Christ, and they sign an agreement that Satan will be their leader, their God. And at the time, this was 2.5 years ago, whenever, 2.5, 3 years ago, there was 25,000 people, I believe, a week. It may have been a day, I forget, it was way up there, that was signing this petition. That's an alarming rate. And it was, and as I was studying this, I told you how that in some areas it was taking over schools or colleges. It's just terrible. And this past week, you may get the same email, I don't know, but one of the people that emails probably thousands of people. I was looking at one of the news emails, and it showed billboards that's going up around America. And it has a 10 or 11 year old boy on some, and a 10 and 11 year old girl on another. And on top of the billboard's main writing, it says, "Are you tired of a friend that's invisible?" The atheist is putting this out. On top of the witchcraft, now the atheists want our children. I don't know about you, but I met a friend about 40 years ago. They may not be able to see them. They can call them invisible all they want, but I talk with them daily. And I feel his presence, and I know he exists. That it's just a terrible time that's sweeping our country. There's times it's hurting, and I don't want to. I think this should be said in the church, so I'm gonna say it, but I want to say it the right way. But it's no longer even preached on about premarital sex. It's not even mentioned. It's become accepted. In most schools, from ages 10, 11, and 12 become sexual active. In the church, something's got to happen. It's not the kids' fault. Kids just do what they're allowed to do. Do you know that? What they're taught. They just do what they want. And let's face it. Us adults are not very good examples. I very seldom watch any TV show that doesn't have a horse or a ball player in it. So I don't know much about some of these later TV shows except briefly watching some of them or something, but every one of them is about living together. They're worse, and pardon the way I say this, but we laugh and we think it's funny, but they act like a bunch of animals. They jump from one bed to another, and we just, oh, that's so funny. What an example. Is this all right to say in the church? I'm going to preach here in a minute. This has nothing to do, this is just getting you ready for the message. And then Sister Linda didn't know it, but she was just touching on this. She said, well, how many of us has been going through some trials and tribulations? Difficult times. Anybody in here felt like you've been standing all alone in the last little bit and you have no friends, you don't know what's going on? We're living in a time, and then I haven't been keeping up with the news. I got burned out on it about a month ago, and I'm a news junkie usually. I love it. But I got burned out on it, convicted of it. I don't know ever how you want to put it. But I just catch a minute here and there. But I do know that Israel is being bombed, and I do know they're bombing back. I do know that much. I do know that I heard somebody say that they moved 75,000 troops up on their borders, and they're not going to take it. I told somebody this morning and this evening, we're this close to World War III. We're that close to the coming of the Lord, too. And I'm not preaching on the coming of the Lord tonight. You're probably saying, Pastor, what in the world are you preaching on? I truly believe that God's coming back after a glorious, powerful, active church. I don't know if anybody's come in the back door today or which door you come in, but if you've been coming in this door, go out that door or go back there and look. There's a big old gorilla that's sitting back there in a chair. He's been at this church for 8 or 9 or 10 years. And so I was getting some toys down that we had stored up there, and I seen that big gorilla, and I just yanked them down. I threw them in that chair. And I've been wanting to preach a message on him so bad I can't stand it. I've been wanting to set him out there. But I'm going to tell you something. It's time that the church quit acting like that gorilla, because I can tell him anything. He just sits there and gives me the same old dumb look. As soon as I put him down, he's dead. It's 4 o'clock again. Can I say this and be nice? Woe on us, church, because we're a lot like that. If the Holy Ghost is shaking us, we'll move a little bit. But as soon as he leaves us a little bit, or we think he does, I should say, we're just like that gorilla. I was going to get some little kid have that for Christmas, but I may keep him around. I kind of like that feller. But we need, what I'm trying to say is we need a move of God. And so I was praying about all this stuff, some of it anyways, and God gave me this message, and I want to share it with you. I know it may be seem a little late to you, but I promise you I won't keep you too long. Let's go to the book of Luke, the third chapter first. And you're probably thinking, the 21st verse, you're probably saying, where's he going with this? But this is where the Holy Ghost led me, so this is where I'm going. Would you bow your heads? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for those that you have touched today, those that you have healed, those that have received encouragement, Lord, has received joy and strength. Lord, I thank you for the touch that I've received. Lord, and I ask as it comes this time that we minister this evening, direct my mind and my tongue, God. Let me speak the words that you would have me. Anoint me, God. And I ask that you open our hearts that we might receive this word and that we may apply it into the good ground of the heart. And in the name of Jesus, devil will rebuke you that you do not steal, kill, or destroy this word. And the church says, all those that's able, would you stand for the reading of the word of God? Luke, the third chapter, 21st verse. It says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And the voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And the church says, amen. Now, I'm going to leave this scripture for a little bit, and I'm going to come back to it and tie all this together. But in order for us to receive victory, as I said this morning, we got to quit camping in the middle of our storms. We have got to come through. We will face new storms and new trials and all, but if we always stay in the same place, we're not doing what God wants us. We have to begin to move forward. And so I was praying, God, give me something. Show me how, God, that we can come through these. Because I heard somebody say this morning, sometimes we're fighting the same old trials over and over and over and over and over again. I call it spinning our tires. It's like being stuck in the stand. You just keep spinning and going deeper and deeper. It's time that we go forward because there's people that need us. We've got family. If you truly believe the coming of the Lord is soon, then we need to fill this church up with our lost loved ones. If you truly believe that God can make a difference in this world, we need to take the gospel out to these people, because I believe that God can still make a difference. But what's got to happen? If you would, let's go back just for a second to Exodus, the 14th chapter, and put up the 16th verse and then the 21st verse. This is when Moses had went down into the land of Goshen, in the land of Egypt, and he bringing the children of Egypt, children of Israel out of Egypt, and he come to the Red Sea. I want you to, it says, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. I know you've seen this picture, but just for a second, as I make this one point, I want you to see this. Here Moses is obeying God, and he's got anywhere from 1 million to 3 million people following him. He comes up, and here's the sea. He's stuck. In the background, they can see the Egyptian army fastly approaching. They knew that their time was limited, and that if something divinely did not happen, they were going to die. I don't know about you, but I believe we need something divinely to begin to happen, or there's many that's not going to make it. We need some divine moves of God to begin to take place. And so the Lord told Moses, he said, I want you to hold up your rod. And I want to show you just something that God gave me early one morning. If you would, let's go to Exodus, the 4th chapter and the 2nd verse. It says, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, it's a rod. All right, let's go to the 17th verse. And it says, thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Let's go to the 20th verse. And in the 20th verse it says, let's just read it all. Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon the ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his what? Now here's what I believe that the rod represented. Moses was standing there. All the people was behind him. This is what God began to lay on my heart about 2 or 3 o'clock one morning. He said when Moses held that rod up, it represented the word of God. It represented the word of God. Now I want you to tell you this. We have got to return to the word of God. This seems right, might be right, or grandma's teachings need to be flushed out of the church, out of our hearts, and out of our life, and it ought to be, thus saith the word of God. Is anybody with me? We're going to cross over. It's going to be by holding up the word of God. And as he held the word of God up, the Bible said he lifted his other hand and he stretched it out, and the water began to divide because of the word of God. Now I'm going to go to another place where they crossed over. If you would, let's go to Joshua. I've got a lot of verses here, and I'm going to try to cover them fast because this is just laying my foundation. Joshua 3 and 13. Now Moses had died. Joshua had taken over. The children of Israel was camped, and they could see over the Jordan River. They could see the promised land. They were this close to eating of the milk and honey, to living where God was blessing them. And then there stood the Jordan River. And the Bible said it was out of its banks. It was a roaring river. We in this part of the country, we know about high rising water. I remember in 1979, was it, or 78, when I seen a two-story house float down the Powell River. When it flooded out Pineville, I was there and I seen a two-story house floating down the Powell River. I believe it wedged against the bridge, if I'm not mistaken. We know about rising water, but right across the rising water was everything that we need. You see, church, we're right here. Right in front of us is the answer to every problem we got. Right there's divine miracles, the land of milk and honey. And the Lord told Joshua, listen to him. It says, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, and that the waters of Jordan shall be cut from the waters that will come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. They're going to walk across on dry ground. What the Lord told Joshua, he said, you have the priest to put the ark on their shoulders. And said, when they walk down, and as they step into the water, when they get out into the water, the Spirit of the Lord's going to move on the water and going to divide it. And I know in Hebrew that ark means a whole lot. But as I read the Old Testament and study, everywhere the Ark of the Covenant was meant the presence of God was there. Now listen to me. Joshua did not need the rod no more, because Moses went up on the mountain and God wrote his word down. And he said, Moses, you go down and you preach them that they put it in their hearts. They didn't have to hold it up no more. It's in their hearts. And so here's Joshua standing there. And God says, now I want to show you something. If you're going to possess what I have for you, it has to be done in my spirit. Come on now. In the presence of the Lord. And so as they walked down, the water divided. Can I say something? We have to get out of this hot one moment and cold the next, and let the Spirit of the Lord begin to stir the hearts of the people once again, because we're going to cross over Jordan. Now, before I can preach, I got just two more times. I'm showing you something. I'm going to tie them together here in a minute. Let's go to Kings. 2 Kings. The second chapter in the 8th verse. Sister Linda didn't know how much she was on my message. I was praying, Lord, let her go ahead and just turn loose. Elijah took his mantle and he wrapped it together and he smoked the waters, and they were divided and hither, so that they went over on dry ground. Now here was Elijah, and Elisha was following them. He comes to the Jordan River and he takes off his mantle. He ties it together. He smokes the water. And the water divides. Over on the other side, all of a sudden a chariot of fire comes down, and a whirlwind, and Elijah disappears. The only thing that is left of Elijah is his mantle. Elisha said, I want a double portion of what you got, Elijah. The mantle represents the anointing. Now listen to me. Elisha had his own anointing, which was one. When he picked up the mantle, he got Elijah's anointing, which was a double portion of anointing. And Elisha walks down to the Jordan River. Let's go down to verse number, make sure I tell you right. Let's go down to verse 13. It says, and he took also the mantle of Elijah from him that fell, and he went back and he stood by the banks of Jordan. Put up verse number 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. The anointing. Now let me show you something before I go further, because I'm going to tie this up and you're going to see victory. The first two miracles was done to save a nation. The anointing miracles was done because the man of God proclaimed it to be. It was personal miracles. Did not save nations. Now, I just want that in your head. Because some of you think you can't do miracles or you can't have miracles. I'm going to show you the anointing makes a difference. There's going to be miracles that's going to be for our nation. Miracles that's going to be for our church and our community. And then there are personal miracles. Now let's go back, if you will, to the book of Luke. To where I read, Luke 3:21. Now here's what I want to show you. You remember what the rod represented? The Word. 1 John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word. So here's what was happening. The Word was walking down to the Jordan River. The Word's walking down there. And the Word walked down. Now I can give you a good study on this. When you read Apostles Paul's writing about the washing of the water of the Word, you'll begin to understand what he's talking about. But all of a sudden, Jesus, the Word, says, John, baptize me. John baptizes Jesus. And when Jesus come up, you remember what the ark represented? The Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Ghost. The Bible says that immediately the Holy Ghost come out of heaven in the shape of a dove and landed upon Jesus. Now if you will, go to Luke 4:1. I know you believe this, but there's a lot of people listening to this tape and listening to this. They don't understand this. So I want you to understand that I'm reading this King James Version, KJW. And Jesus being what? Jesus being what? All right, now listen. We have the Word and the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And he returned to Jordan. Now listen to me. Let's go to Luke 4:18. You got the Word. You got the Holy Ghost. And this is what Jesus said when he come out of the wilderness. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has what? He has what? So we have the Word, the Holy Ghost, and the anointing. Let it sink in. You're not getting this. You have the Word. When I got saved, Brother Jack touched on this Thursday night. When I got saved, the Word was made to me. Then, as I begin to draw nigh unto God and seek the Lord, the Holy Ghost, and may I say the baptism of the Holy Ghost, was made available. Now listen, a lot of people take the anointing and the Holy Ghost to the same. Anointing and the Holy Ghost is not the same. Can I tell you something? If you are very religious and you're very smart in your religion, before you die and leave this world, you'll lay your hands on somebody and you say, I'll give you of my anointing to be upon you. I long for it. I've had people say, but Pastor, can I give you my anointing? I said, give it to me. Because we can't hand our anointing down. You say, now what difference does that all of that make? Here's why I know that God's going to bless the church in this day and time. Let's go to Matthew, the 14th chapter, first, and the 22nd verse. Now, of all the times, this is the ones that the Lord gave me this night. Every one of these scriptures he gave me this night. Jesus had been preaching and teaching and ministering, and he'd become very tired. He told his disciples, he said, get in the boat. And you go across the sea here. I'm going to go in the mountains. I'm going to pray and rest. And I'm going to come and join you. Halfway across the sea, all of a sudden a big storm blew up. The ship was being tossed and turned. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, come the word. Walking on the water. For the first time, he did not split the water. Jesus could have stood on the shore. He could have tucked and he could have split the water. But there was a reason he did not split the water. He's teaching us about the word, the Holy Ghost, and the anointing. He walks out to the disciples. Peter sees him coming. At first they thought he was a ghost. Peter says, "Who art thou, Lord? Can I come to you?" And the Lord said, "Come on, Peter." Peter. See, now Peter did not understand what you're learning right now. But Peter knew that God would not lead him astray. He jumps over the side of the boat. It's still storming. He hasn't calmed the sea. The boat's still tossed. Peter's walking from wave to wave. You're talking about something beginning to happen. But all of a sudden, Peter took his eyes off of the word, off the Holy Ghost, and off the anointing, and he put it on the circumstances around him, and he sunk. And immediately, as he was sinking, I believe he was going down for the third time. He stuck his voice up and he hollered, "Lord, I need you." And all of a sudden, got a hold of his hand, brought him back up on the storm, and walked him to the boat and put him into the safety of the boat. And then he calmed the sea. Now, you see, we have the word, the Holy Ghost, and the anointing. Are there anybody here who don't have the anointing on you? You got to seek for the anointing. Can you know the anointing can grow? As you grow in God, your anointing will grow. You know, I'd like to think that my anointing is greater now than it was when I started ministering. I remember the first time I ever felt the mighty anointing of preaching. I had very good Bible knowledge. That's all I ever knowed. But I got up to preach at night, and I had been busy, and I hadn't prepared, and I thought all you had to do was get in the pulpit, open your mouth, the Holy Ghost anointed, and you preached. I was dumb as a whole hell. I got in the pulpit. The anointing got on me. It probably felt like the greatest anointing I've ever felt. I stuttered around for 5 minutes and dismissed service. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Son, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." And that it's been 30-some years, and I very seldom have ever gotten a pulpit that I haven't spent hours preparing. There are times that you have to be instant in season, but I recall that teaching the Holy Ghost does. You see, the anointing comes upon you, and you become a different person. We today have operated. Some have grabbed the word. The word by itself is dead. Some of the dumbest people I know the Bible better than I do. That's a fact. When I worked for MU, some of them teachers that would call me up to the office, they loved to talk the Bible. They could quote the Bible better than I could. But they didn't have the Spirit. And so they believed in evolution. They said, "How can you not believe in evolution?" I said, "Because I believe the Word of God." They said, "How do you believe the Word of God?" He said, "Evolution's been proven." I said, "It hasn't been proven." They said, "Do you believe in dinosaurs?" I said, "Yeah, I believe in dinosaurs." I said, "They dig their bones up." I believe in them. I know some people don't believe in dinosaurs. They are dinosaurs. But let me tell you something. Read about them. They've never been a dinosaur bone dug up that underneath it they didn't find a man's footprint. Do you know that? That's a fact. They always find humans, and all through history, all the people they've dug up, they've never found anyone that was in the middle of evolution. They've never found a man with a tail or ears Now, for years, they had in our classrooms a half man and half apes that this guy claimed he had. Before he died, he confessed that he made it up and that was bones of a pig. Remember that about 10 years ago? Swept the news. They had to go through and change all the encyclopedias and all the history books because they believed that man's lie. All I have to do is just believe the word of God. Amen. You know why? Because the Spirit says so. Amen. They would say, you mean you believe in the flood? I said, that was impossible. Do you know that even those scientists that have climbed up on top of Mount Everest, one of the highest peaks in the world, have noticed that it has been underwater? When God said he flooded the earth, he flooded the earth. Amen. But you see, without the anointing or the Spirit, you cannot believe the word of God. And may I say this? I've got just a little further. You can't just have the Spirit. I've known people that's very spiritual. They would shout at the drop of a hat, dance all night long and shout. They didn't know, they couldn't put three scriptures together. They were weak Christians. I had a preacher that was very well received in the South. And he happened to come to one of my revivals one time. It was one of the good ones. I preached a lot of bad ones. I never tell you about them. I like talking about the good ones because that's my nature, right? And I was in the middle of one of them good revivals where we were having people saved every night. In fact, it was one of the only times the whole town ever come out to hear me preach. Everybody, people was packed. And later comes this well-known evangelist. And he sits through the service at night. And after church, he says, I want to talk to you, young man. I said, yes, sir. Because I knew who he was, and I thought. He pulled me over to the side and chewed my ear off. He said, you're the most negative preacher I've ever heard. I said, well, what did I preach so negative? He said, you preached it wasn't on the shout. You can shout all you want, but when your feet hit the ground, live it. We used to remember old time preaching? Jump and holler all you want, but when your feet hit the ground, walk it. And so that's why I was preaching. I preached that. I said that then. I didn't preach it. And I said, well, sir, I believe that. He said, all you're doing is turning people off. And I talked to him after a while. I wasn't with him no time and I understood he may have been well known. He may have been well paid. He may have been very well liked. But he absolutely did not know the Bible. He was very spiritual. You got to have the word with the anointing. With the Holy Ghost. But then you got to have the, then comes the anointing. You know what the anointing does? The anointing lets you speak the word by the Holy Ghost with boldness. It lets you say things that you normally would not say. He'll lead you places you'll never go. The anointing will. The anointing will let you stand up and sing and preach when you don't feel like it. The anointing does that. The anointing will have you witnessing to people. The anointing will tell you at 3 o'clock in the morning, I want you to go witness to this one, or I want you to go witness to that. I want to show you how the anointing works. Put up Mark, the 4th chapter, and the 38th verse. Remember, we're talking about doing miracles. Jesus told his disciples that we've got to cross over again. And he got in the ship, and Jesus goes to the front of the ship, and he gets down into the ship, and he falls asleep. Because, see, he said the word, and he knew if he said it, it was going to be. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, the water begins to toss, and the ship is about to sink. A couple of disciples run to Jesus and wakes him up, and they said, Master, don't you care that we're going to perish? And this is what the anointing does. He walks out on the front of that ship, and he looked at the ocean and the wind, and he said, peace, be still. And there was a calmness that fell, and the storm was gone. He said, Pastor, that doesn't happen today. I was reading the other day about a church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And before Katrina, a year before Katrina hit, and Perry Stone had went there to preach, and God had gave him a prophecy. He said, I just want to tell you this. He says, when the storm comes, if you will pray, God will turn the storm away from you, and it will not touch this church. Do you know that Katrina was heading right towards Baton Rouge? And just out of nowhere, it turned and went into New Orleans. You know what this church was doing? When the storm come, Perry said that he was in, I may be saying this wrong, but I believe he said he was in Israel. And the pastor called and said, what should we do? He said, do what the Lord told you. Start rebuking it under the anointing. And so that is a large church. They got together and they started praying. When everybody else was running for shelter, they run to the church and they were saying, we bind you, we rebuke you. And the storm began to change its course. And that church had loaded their rooms, their Sunday school classes, with water and with food. And they were ready. And when all them homeless people come, they were the people out there with food already and water already, because God had told them, because the anointing said it so. Church, I think it's time that we let the anointing preach us again. And we begin to speak yea and nay. And we begin to pray yea and nay. The anointing will not let you pray, if it's the Lord's will, be thou made whole. The anointing will speak, hey, I say to thee, be thou made whole. The anointing will grab somebody by the hand and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. Arise up and walk. The anointing does that. Church, we need the Word and the Holy Ghost all over us. A renewing of the Holy Ghost in our hearts and in our lives. But we need men and women that say, God, anoint me. Anoint me for this day and this hour, that we can see ourselves through the times of crisis. Elijah did not ask God if he could split the Jordan. He split the Jordan. Elisha did not ask God if he could split the Jordan. He did not say, Lord, if it's your will, split this. He was under the anointing, and he began to operate under the anointing. The anointing will take you out on the edge of the cliff and push you. You see, if I get the permit to preach the next message, I gave you one of the points. If you're gonna see God move, you gotta live in the unexpected. You got to be in the unexpected. We want everything cut and dry. We want to know the answer before we do it. Somebody told me, said, what happens if your yard sale flops? It flops. I've done my best. We've done our best. Brother Carl, what happens if we get out there to sing that Saturday and the lector goes off? We do our best. That's what the anointing does. It doesn't matter. God moves. The anointing. When Jesus spoke to the sea, see, that was the Word, the Holy Ghost, and the anointing. We like to operate in one or the other, but you put them together. Oh, hallelujah. What God says is yea and nay. The Holy Ghost gives us a boldness and leads us into it, and the anointing will let us obey what the Holy Ghost is telling us. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And we begin to see things happening. I have changed my way of praying in the last month. It's been a hard month. I've tried to change the way I talk and the way I look at things. I've tried to take all my eyes off of circumstance and just put it on God. I've tried to speak yea and nay. Sometimes it's hard. I told you this morning, I come in here many times, and I speak to these old pews. I prophesy to them. You say, Pastor, why you do that for? Because I believe when you speak under the anointing of God, something happens.
Absolutely.
I believe something happens. I've been here before, and some of you don't know this. If the anointing gets on me, I preach just like I'm here. Man, I preach like big trees falling. There won't be one person here but me. I've been here up just preaching, jumping on these pews and laying it out. Somebody was walking in the door, sat down and listened to it. Then they get up and leave. You say, I don't even know who they are. Sometimes I have. And you say, doesn't that bother you? Don't bother me a bit. Because I'm under anointing. If I wasn't under anointing, it embarrassed me to death. It's the anointing. I preached that old gorilla 3 times this week. And I like him. He just sits there and smiles. I like that gorilla. I'll tell you a gorilla story. This is true. I'd done service work. We'd go out and work on wells and people's water and stuff. We had to go up Petticoat Junction up that way, up towards Washburn. And we went in there by the lake, and I'm going up through there, and this guy tells me, he said, it's been 13, 14 years, so I guess it don't matter. This guy I'm with says, now this guy's a drug dealer. Said, ain't no telling what he'll have. And he has an ape tied up, a gorilla. So I didn't even roll my window down. Sister Barbara's nephew was driving the truck. He rolled his window down that far. And that he comes out the truck and says, I need water. And I said, that gorilla bite. About that time, that gorilla grabbed that mirror, swung, and went through that little mirror, jumped over that mic, landed on my shoulder, and he showed me nothing but teeth. And he was a growling. I was eating a peanut butter cracker, and I was giving him that grill as fast as I could. I come home, and I said, Sister Becky, I said, I've been kissed by a gorilla. I thought I was getting eat up by a gorilla. I told that man, I said, you tie your gorilla up to the porch, or you're not getting no water. And he tied that thing back up. Now, I like this gorilla back here. That other one's like a lot of church people I've met. I'm joking. This one back here is nice. He's like a lot of church people, too. He's just dead as 4 o'clock. You see, I want to cross over. I'm tired of looking into the land of milk and honey. I'm going to say this and politely, but I get tired of preaching about it. After a while, I want to eat some grapes. I ain't never seen grapes where it takes 2 guys to carry. I want to eat them. Sometimes I just want to enjoy the land of milk and honey.
Amen.
I'm tired of standing on Jordan trying to figure out how we're going to cross over. And every time we get almost to the other side, somebody says, well, we better go back. We may not make it. And we go right back. I'm tired of being this close to my divine healing. Anybody here tired of holding on to your healing for about 30 days and it comes back? I'm ready to cross on over. You see, this is what this is about. The Bible says we can cross over.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost will lead us there.
Yes.
And the anointing will give you the boldness to proclaim it before you get there. And so, when God woke me up at 3 o'clock, I was already awake, and I was in pain, and I was moaning. I was waking Sister Becky up. I could not. I was just sitting there. This had been about the 5th or 6th night. God gave me this. And so, from then on, I've been trying to, somebody say, how you sleep? I said, I'm sleeping. I'm doing all right. Because you know why? I'm crossing that Jordan. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to make it. The anointing will not let me be satisfied that way. There have been some terrible trials that's tried it. We're going through some terrible trials, Sister Becky and I and our family. I desire your prayers. We're going through some. We don't know what to do. Our hands are tied. We're at wit's end. Something has to be done. God is going to take us through. God's going to take us through. Because he's took others through. Can I have an amen on that?
Amen.
Do you love the Lord tonight? Are there anybody ready to cross over? Hallelujah. Are there anybody here tonight ready to worship your way into the blessings of God and out of the tribulations? Are there anybody here that would like to be renewed in the Holy Ghost?
Hallelujah.
Maybe you haven't even received it. You see, we say we want it, but we won't even ask God to renew us in the Holy Ghost. Can I say something? Here I go. This is the anointing talking. I got anointed. Sister Debbie just gives me boldness. Some of you have quit praying in your prayer languages. You got to get it. I have knelt to pray more in the last month, and God would touch me. And I said, God, why do you want me to pray? And the Holy Ghost would say, I'll take you there. And I begin to pray in my prayer language. Because God knows. I don't. You say, Pastor, I don't understand the prayer language. I'm afraid of it. If you're here tonight and you're afraid of it, don't be embarrassed about being afraid of it. Be honest with yourself. Don't be embarrassed about it. You may say, I don't even understand it, Brother Bill. Just be honest about it. There's nothing wrong. If you don't understand something, there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to take Bill Chapman's word for it. Ask the Lord, God, take me in the Word. Read what thus saith the Word. And then believe what the Word says. Then say, God, I want what the Word says. And I'm going to tell you something. This is the anointing talking. When you read the Word, and God makes you a promise, you claim it. And you'll get it. Because God will not lie. That's the anointing talking. But Pastor, is that important? You need a renewing the Holy Ghost. He leads you, church. He teaches you. He guides you. You need this. If I did not say this and I let you think that you could slip through this without praying and seeking for it, I am no longer your pastor, and you ought to take and put me on the rail and run me out of town. Is this all right? We're in a country where they're putting billboards up to teach our kids atheism, and it's wrong for us to teach them God. We need this. Oh, man, I'm going to preach. I'm going to tell you something. Prayer changes things, but what prayer will do will change us into anointed men of God that we can resist this. That's how it will be changed. God will not send angels down to change it because he's got you here to do it. Is this all right? I told you I'm feeling a preacher coming on. You see, we've come to a place where we say, well, let so-and-so do it. Well, there's churches that's bigger and better. I didn't get to this part of my notes because I ain't been up there. One of the great awakenings that swept Europe. Do you know who they give credit to? Two women that was in their 80s. Neither one of them attended one service during the revival. You know why? One was blind and could not see to leave her house. and the other was crippled with arthritis and could not walk. But for over 1 year, every waking hour, they prayed for God to send revival. And when God began to move, they never attended a service, but it's been over 200 years. And every time that revival's mentioned, these two women are mentioned, because they're the ones God used to set the thing in motion. After the Civil War, we had a great awakening in America. Every time it's mentioned, and I forget the name, the guy's name starts with L, it's credited to one man that was living in New York City. And the unemployment rate in New York City was like 50%. Nobody was working. All the buildings was empty. New York City was starving and drying up. And this one man said, "I'm going to pray for 1 hour during my lunch hour." And he invited, the first time it was him, the second time there were five. And he asked this guy, said, "Can I use this old store building that's empty for an hour a day?" After a couple weeks, there was thousands up. It would come up to 50,000 people would gather in New York City and pray for 1 hour every day for God to save America. But it started with one man. Don't tell me that if you get the anointing on you and the Holy Ghost, that God won't give you a boldness that could stir a nation. You might be the one that's right here that God might use. You may say, "I can't do it." God doesn't look at age, young or old. And thus man take a back seat. He doesn't look at sex, whether you're male or female. That's what the Bible says. He chooses whom he will. And if he chooses you, and maybe you may not be the one to save the state or the county, but maybe you're the one to save your neighbor or the one next to you. But we can't do it if we don't have the Word, the Spirit, Holy Ghost, I should say. You say, "Pastor, you're putting a lot of emphasis on the Holy Ghost." I didn't. Jesus did. You know what he told his disciples? He said, "I know you've worked with me 3 years." He says, "I know I sent you out. I know you've done miracles. I know you've done this, but I've been with you." He said, "Now I'm going back to be with my Father." He said, "But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm giving you someone that shall never leave you. It's going to be with you." And then his last words to him, he said, "Now I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you receive this." Don't you go ministering until you have this. You need this. This is important to you. He made an emphasis on it. You say, "Pastor, you're sounding like an old Pentecostal." I feel like an old Pentecostal. But we need it. You say, when you're at home and you get praying, you need to get in that prayer language. You do. When you're singing, Brother Carr, you ever get in that prayer language or prayer song language when you're singing? That's the prettiest thing I've ever heard. I told Sister Becky one night, I said, "Even I can carry a tune in the spirit." I've done it. And then the Holy Ghost get on me and I go pray. You ever pray, sing in tongues? It sounds like angels singing, and I don't sound like an angel. That's the Lord. And then the anointing, I can't put more emphasis on that. Because you know how much of the Word you know, how much of the Spirit you got. If you don't have a boldness, you don't have an anointing to do something, you'll not do it. You'll do it once and quit. It's that anointing. When Elisha grabbed that mantle, he was representing the anointing. He already had the Word and the Spirit. You say, how do you know Elijah had it? How many knows John the Baptist come back in what? In the spirit of who? Elijah. What did the Bible say about John the Baptist when he was before he was born? He was filled with what? Before what? He was born. So don't tell me when he crossed that Jordan River, he didn't have the Holy Ghost. You See, when the Lord gave me this, he gave me a lot of this. I'm just sharing a little bit with you. Because I'm hard-headed too. Sister Becky, not. But I want to cross over. And if you're here tonight, I'm closing. I preached late tonight. I'm sorry. But I want us to cross over. If you would, let's stand with me tonight. As far as I know, everybody in here is a child of God.